lots of people, Sarah Jessica Parker epitomizes a certain kind of New York. For 6 years on television, she embodied the ups and downs of being an ambitious, romantic single woman in the series Sex and the City.
What does she want you to write?
A poem about love.
Dear God, I hope you said no.
How do you say no to somebody who wants you to be involved in her wedding?
If I could answer that, I wouldn't be in charge of the guest book.
Ugh, why did I agree to this? I write about sex, not love. What do I know about love?
I might have to get married now.
In 2008, they turned the series into a feature film. And its sequel, Sex and the City 2, is even bigger and broader and more fantastical. Sarah Jessica Parker, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, we're delighted to have you. In the TV series, New York City was more than just a backdrop. It was the fifth main character. This movie takes place mainly and most spectacularly in Abu Dhabi. Was that the decision from the beginning, let's get rid of New York?
No, not at all. It's an idea that Michael Patrick and I had spoken of, that we felt that this movie...
This is Michael Patrick King, director and writer.
Some reference, yes. Michael Patrick King, who is our writer and director and my producing partner, we felt that the second movie, in conversation early on, should be an antidote to the first movie. And we wanted to, as we saw the beginning of an economic downturn, we wanted to sort of transport our audience. Samantha, Kim Cattrall's character, says she wants to go someplace where there's money, where they're behind, where they're in the past. New York is the present and the future, and Abu Dhabi remains the past. The bubble exists there. And I think that the person who is most risky in her lack of respect for the culture is Samantha.
And I find myself sort of taking the joke conservative Middle Easterner's side in the battle with Samantha in those scenes a little
bit. Yeah, and so does Miranda, Jiminy Cricket, and so does Carrie, and certainly so does Charlotte. Well, we keep saying to her, you have got to cover your shoulders. You have got to respect a culture that has invited us here. And there's something really interesting to gain from it. I mean, we keep saying it, you know, we keep reprimanding and chastising her for her outlandish, and what we say on screen is disrespectful behavior.
Right.
But Carrie keeps saying, there is something interesting about this.
Right.
And there is something interesting about the past, you know, the idea of covering yourself and the observance of women, and also about how Carrie feels about her past.
At one point in the movie, you Carrie, and her friends, girlfriends, are at a karaoke bar in Abu Dhabi, and they break into song.
I'm sorry.
No, I like your slightly cringy reaction. It's interesting.
Do you know how hard it was to figure out how badly Carrie really sings? Just kidding.
Well, yeah, and I'm gonna. What I was gonna say is, it's interesting that your huge first breakthrough role was singing on Broadway as Annie.
Together at last, together forever.
Where did you find this?
That is a very young Sarah Jessica Parker singing a song from Annie.
One of my favorites.
Was that altogether happy and wonderful, or was it scary and strange as well?
It was only wonderful. I never imagined I would be cast in that show. I went to see it. We got standing room. I'm one of eight kids, and all the older kids got to go. We all stood in the back of the Alvin Theater. It was then the Alvin Theater. It is now the Neil Simon Theater. We watched it, and my father said to me very sweetly, hoping to be helpful at the end of the show, he said, well, you know, you're not Annie material. You'll never be cast in that show. And I thought he was right, and nonetheless, I auditioned, and that's how I became Annie.
Really?
Yeah.
You were 12 or something when you did that. You'd been acting for a while. Did you feel like you got your full quota of normal childhood life?
I think because I was one of eight kids, I just didn't have an option. I mean, I was still expected to load the dishwasher and take care of my younger brothers and sisters, and I still got in trouble and a lot, and disappointed my parents and lied and stole and cheated.
Well, Sarah Jessica Parker, this is your life. You worked right through your teenage years. And you became this teenage heartthrob in Footloose.
Did I?
You did.
Did I?
You did. Even though I was an adult throbbing my heart for you. You did Flight of the Navigator. You did the TV series Square Pegs. I want to play a clip from Square Pegs, in which your character Patty, who's this nerdy, awkward freshman.
With glasses not unlike your own. Atticus Finch glasses.
There you go.
Yeah.
This is a scene in which Patty happens to show up at a dance at the same time as this guy, this older, cooler guy she has a crush on.
Look, I don't know how to say this, but...
I thought you liked me.
I do like you. It's just that I'm seeing somebody else.
Who?
You don't know her. She's in college. You're not gonna cry, are you?
Yes. I mean, no.
I never meant to make you think that.
Larry, you needn't reproach yourself. I understand perfectly. I've had some experience with this sort of thing before, you know.
Really? Because I think you're a terrific kid with a lot of potential.
Don't give it another thought. Why ask for the moon
when we
have
the stars?
You certainly have an unusual mind for a kid your age.
I remember that scene.
I can tell you recited the line along with yourself. You, in that character and other characters, as a young actress, you played ugly ducklings.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel like an ugly duckling?
I don't know that I felt like an ugly duckling. I definitely understood that I wasn't, by Hollywood standards, thought of as pretty. I was the cerebral best friend of the pretty girl, you know? And I've been counseled to do all sorts of things to myself. And while it's painful to hear them for a moment or perhaps longer than a moment, I've never made the decision to do it.
What have you been counseled to do, for instance?
Oh, change my hair, fix my nose, pluck my eyebrows, put on weight, all sorts of things that really don't have anything to do with my natural DNA.
On a 0 to 100% scale, how much are you like Carrie Bradshaw?
30%? Yeah, at most. The things that I can point to and I know we share are our love of this city, New York City. I always say we look alike, but that's not even all the time. And that's kind of it.
You are 45?
I have to do the math. 65?
Take my word for it.
Yeah, I'm 45. Okay, great. Sometimes I think I'm 46.
Your youngest co-star in Sex and the City is 44.
How dare she?
Have you all about... Yeah, could you get that contractually changed? Have you all about aged out of these roles?
I don't know. It's possible. I think there's a...
And you could do the Golden Girls version in 20 years. But.
I don't want to do that. Oh, that would break my heart. No, you have to know when to walk away. You have to be circumspect. You have to have a little bit of...
Yeah.
You have to know.
It must be strange to have co-invented this thing 12, 13 years ago now and still be doing it.
It is, but it's... I love it. I love playing Carrie Bradshaw. I've never looked back. Can you imagine a double life? It's wonderful, including the last movie, including all that bleak, gray period in the middle. I keep telling someone's life. It's like the book that I loved. I read Winter's Tale for the first time while we
Mark
were making...
Mark Halpern?
Yes.
One of my favorites of all time.
Oh, my God.
If I did the fist-bumping, palm-slap, high-fiving thing, I would now be doing that with you.
I read it. I brought it to Morocco. And it took me all these years because, you know, it's so massive to carry around. And when I started reading it, I was stunned. And in a way, I felt like, well, this is as long a life as I've been doing Carrie Bradshaw. It has nothing to do with Carrie Bradshaw except this city and how he talks about the city and different times of this city and such sadness in this city and such hope. And
the literal magic and the spectacle and all of it, yeah.
And from the time I was a little girl, my father was born and raised in Brooklyn, and we used to come to New York and visit him. My parents were divorced, and we would come and spend our summers in New York. We would drive from Cincinnati, and we would cross the George Washington Bridge, and from the time that we were on the other side of the bridge, on the Jersey side, and we got through the toll, and we could start seeing the island of Manhattan. Something happened in the car.
The Gershwin was cued?
Literally, we would start singing, but we would look at the island, you know, from way up north, and it was literally like poetic to us, and it was always so hard to leave. And I love Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati is a really important city, like so many cities in this country that have so much to offer and are interesting and exciting places. But I can't live anywhere else.